Good morning, everyone. Thanks to everyone who participated so far, and even if you are engaged in prayer or whatever, there's something here this morning. It was really cool. One of the things I've been thinking about this week, actually, as we were singing songs this morning, I was thinking, wow, it would be really great to sing a hymn. There's something about a hymn. There's theology in it. There's words that connect. And I can't believe I'm saying this. I've tried my whole life to get away from hymns, to be honest. And I was just sitting there thinking. I thought about it this week, and then Travis started in on a hymn, and then another one. And it was just a beautiful thing, and I think it was a God thing. It was something powerful for me. Thank you guys for being here and participating. If you've shared, we are a family. This is about us. It's a very serious thing, like Brittany and Martha were talking about. And this is who we are. We're a family of God. And the only thing I'd challenge a little bit is the church. Jesus has promised us that the church will stand. It will stand and it will not fail. And so I love that concept. I love that picture. This morning I want to get you to think about something as we start in. We've been in a kind of a very serious topic, and not that we're never, ever not, but we've just been in something what I think is urgent. I think it is just grassroots, foundational, for your spiritual life, urgent. And this morning's not any different than that. And so I love light and fluffy introductions, but this morning's a little more heavy. I want you to start thinking about a chain. We're going to look at chain, a links in a chain. And one of the things that I've discovered in my life that chains are good things. We use them all the time in our construction job. As I was growing up, chains are very bad things when they break, when they give way. You've heard the old phrase, the weakest link in the chain, and when that link breaks, it's devastating. There's things that happen. One of the most probably the most devastating thing, accident at least, that has ever happened in my family happened as a result of a chain. I was trying to think, it's been 20 years. I think it was in 96 or 97. And I don't think a chain broke. I think it came loose or it wasn't quite attached right or something. But my dad and my brother were trying to dislodge or to disassemble a porch roof. And they were hooking a chain around the whole roof and they were leaning out over it. And either it broke or I can't even remember. It somehow came loose and the porch roof with them on it just collapsed. And both my brother got off easy with a broken leg. My dad had a serious head injury that it took him years to recover from. And so I give you this picture. When a chain gives out, when there is a link in a chain, when the weak link gives out, it's devastating. Now hold that thought, and we'll get to it in a little bit. But I want to introduce this series. If you haven't been here, or haven't been here for a while, just kind of plant this series back into your mind. The series is called Crossing Jordan. Yes, there was a TV show like this, but I thought of this first, last November. They stole it from me somehow. And I actually did think about it, and I thought, that sounds kind of familiar. And so I looked it up, and yes, it's a TV show. But what we're doing here this morning, or in this series, is very much this. We're looking forward to 2016, and I'm challenging you. I'm challenging us in the process of sanctification. There is a crossing of the Red Sea. The Red Sea, the Passover, is the Passover lamb, simulates the cross. This is Christ dying on the cross. And then a few days later, 3 days later, they cross through the Red Sea. It's the baptism. It's the resurrection. And all across the world, especially across America, we have believers who that is as far as they've ever gone. I've got saved. I have my card. I got the get into heaven free, get out of hell free card. And I'm saved. What more do I want? And so we've made that crossing, that baptism. But the Bible says they didn't stop there. They got stranded in the desert because they didn't want to go forward. But 40 years later, they went through the Jordan. It's not really a second baptism. It's not really a second work. It's just the other side of the cross. On one side, Christ has died for your sins, for my sins. But the other side of the cross is open. It's vacant for you and I. He is inviting us to deny ourselves and to take up our cross and follow Him. And so there's room on the cross for my sin nature. And so the crossing of the Jordan represents the process of sanctification. If you are saved as a believer, wonderful, but that's the beginning and it's not the end. He has great things in store for you in the terms of growing you to become like His Son. And I will tell you completely, I'm not 100% sure why this is so important. Because it's like, okay, Lord, what? There's a part of me, when I became a Christian, it's like, from here on, I don't really care as long as I'm saved. But there's something incredibly important to God the Father that you become like His Son. You are His Son, and He is going to shape you, and He's going to mold you, and He's going to produce in you the Christ-likeness that He has for you. And this is what this represents. When the Israelites went into the Promised Land and they took out the cities, they took out Jericho, they took out Ai, they took out the five kings of the Amorites, they went up to the north, they went to the south, and they drove them all out. This is representative of you and I taking sin strongholds in our life and driving them out. And that's what He's called us to. And so that's what this series is. And I'm kind of challenging us this in 2016. I'm taking it in my life. There's some things in my life I hate. There's things in my life I want to get rid of. And I've said, thank you, Mark, for sharing, you know, this path with that you're on. But there are things in my life that 2016, this is it. It stops here. I want victory over this. And I'm challenging us. I'm challenging you in the same way that God has called you to become like His Son. And that means take out the next city. And God promised them, I have given you the land. He has done the work. Now you go and you take it, because it requires a participation from us. I likened it in one of the first Sundays to recliner theology. Every once in a while I get to sit in my living room and put my feet up, and my wife, wonderful wife, will bring me my meal, especially on Sunday afternoons, and she'll bring me a drink, and then I'll say, I need a napkin, and you know, I have the blanket, and I have the cat, and I can't get up, and so she'll get me a napkin. And we think that this is a picture kind of, when God says, I'm giving you the land, okay, I put my feet up, I get my blanket, I get my cat, and God, hand me the land. That's recliner theology. That's not what He's talking about. You're engaged. We participate. In fact, it's going to feel like you're doing it, but He is supplying the power. And so that is the challenge, that to take the next city. He promised them, you will take one at a time, little by little. You can't take them all at once. And so just rest easy. It's the next thing on the list that God has for you. And I'm challenging you with this. Our home passage is 2 Peter chapter 1. And I decided, if we do nothing else, I don't know if I've ever done a series where we have hammered one scripture this long. But every time I pick it up, it's like new, it's bottomless. And so we're going to read it this morning, and we're going to take off and go from there. I have more slides than I've set a record for the amount of slides. So if you don't see me clicking slides, I better get going. So pray with me as we open the scripture. Lord, thank you so much. Thank you for your word. Thank you that you have not stranded us. You've not just have this invisible desire for us to be obedient, but you have handed us your word. You've placed your spirit in us to be able to take that word and to guide us into all truth. This morning, we're relying on that. I pray that as we open your word, that you would drive it deep into each heart. It's not my words, it's yours. And I pray that you would make it powerful. Thank you. In the name of Jesus, amen. All right. 2 Peter chapter 1, His divine power. This is Peter telling us everything that God has done. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness. That phrase right there is an amazing thing. You don't have to go looking for it. I'm getting off track. If I hid $100,000 in your house and said, it's in your house somewhere, you would search relentlessly to find that. Peter's telling us it's far more valuable. He has given us everything we need for life and godliness. And this is abundant life, not just to live or to breathe, but abundant life. And for us to not pursue it with everything we have, Lord, I want that, then there's something wrong. We're not believing this. He has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these, He has given us His very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature. We need to participate in the divine nature, or we will be destroyed, having escaped the corruption of the world caused by evil desires. That's everything that God has done. Here's our part. For this very reason, because He has done all that, make every effort to add to your faith goodness. And to goodness, knowledge. And to knowledge, self-control. And to self-control, perseverance. And to perseverance, godliness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure. I love that phrase. It relieves me of feeling like I got to be perfect. We're possessing these in increasing measure. They're not completed and perfected yet. They will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But whoever does not have them is nearsighted and blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their past sins. Peter is saying, if you're not increasing, if you're not possessing these qualities in increasing measure, then the issue is you don't really believe. You're nearsighted and blind. You don't really understand what Christ has done for you on the cross. You don't really understand the gospel. It hasn't weighed on you to the point where you're responding in an obedience, in an effort for obedience. This is a section I rarely read, but I'm going to read it this morning because it fits more. Therefore, this is the next verse. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, make every effort to confirm your calling and election. For if you do these things, you will never stumble, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord Jesus, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. There's something about sanctification does not save you. That's not it. It's the regeneration of the Spirit that saves us. But sanctification, Peter is saying, is proof. It's a proof. It's a sign that regeneration has already happened in you. Now, here's what I want to do this morning. We want to go back and we want to look at this list. We've been going through these seven qualities. We add to our faith goodness and goodness, knowledge and knowledge, self-control and perseverance and godliness and brotherly kindness and love. And we are this morning dealing with how to add to our self-control perseverance. And the key, I should have really just outlined perseverance. We're on this topic of perseverance. This is the concept that we are to stand fast. We are to not give up. We're to have a persevering faith. And so what I want to do this morning is I want to paint a picture. This is my best I can do making a chain. So for, it's not perfect, but go with me. I want to paint your life, my life, as a chain, links of a chain. Part of there are links in the chain of my life that are solid. And there are links in the chain of my life that are probably the weak link. And we want to look at these. And so I put a link up here. And let me give you the first link in our lives with Christ, is that we have peace with God. Romans 2 tells us that for those who are unbelievers, that they are storing up wrath from God. That's an amazing, that's a scary picture. That means the longer you live, the more is being stored up. Not that God is angry, but that He is just and that He's holy. And He has provided a way to get out, to have peace with Him. And so one of the most beautiful parts of my life and your life is that there is a chain link that we have peace with God. We are no longer under a condemnation. We looked at that last week. There is now, therefore, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. I can get up in the morning, and it's an incredible, I still am convinced that we do not understand how powerful guilt is in our life, how much devastation happens in people's lives because of guilt. I get up in the morning, and I have no guilt. Hey, I'm guilty. I lie, maybe cheat, steal, but there's sin, there's pride, there's fear, but I stand before Christ with a breastplate of His righteousness, and I am 100% guilt-free, and it's an amazing thing, and it's true, and this is a link that I can deal with. I love this. This week I got a chance to explain the gospel. We do a Bible study on Wednesday nights, and someone raised a question, and I couldn't explain the gospel. I just love it. That Christ, that my sin, I have no ability to save myself, but that Jesus Christ Himself went on the cross, and God the Father, who is just and righteous and holy, poured wrath onto His own Son, Christ, who loves and who has mercy and is shedding His grace on us by doing this. They did it all. We're bystanders in this whole thing, and we receive. We receive perfection. We receive peace with God. This is an amazing piece of the chain. The next piece of the chain, it's not a perfect chain here, but go with me, is that He has put His Spirit in us. If you were a God and you wanted to control a bunch of people, how would you do it? You could put cameras everywhere to kind of see what they're doing. Maybe you could put an earpiece or, you know, maybe you could write a book. Hey, there's a good idea. Maybe you could write a book. They'd read it, I'm sure. And then you could, sorry. And what God did is He put a piece of Himself. He's omnipresent, and He placed the Spirit in us and everywhere. We can't see in the spirit realm, but if we could, I'm reminded of my cousin as we were hunting, and you know, he asked his crazy questions. I talked about this many times, and we looked across this hollow. We were deer hunting. He said, "Yeah, but Carl, if you lifted every tree, how many deer would you see?" And I say, if you could look into the spirit world, how could everything would look different. You would see believers. Satan can see you. You are walking around. There is a Holy Spirit. You can't hide it. He knows who you are because the Spirit of God is in you. If you saw what he saw, you would be amazed. We are sovereign territory of the Almighty God on this earth. We are ambassadors. We have an embassy planted here because his Spirit is in us. His Spirit guides us into all truth. His Spirit comforts us. His Spirit has overseen, we talked about this last week in Romans 8, he oversaw the adoption of sons. He has made us a new person. He is going to glorify our body. He convicts us of sin. He comforts us, all these things, and he goes with us. That's another link in the chain. Third link, he has given us his word. He has given us his word. If you come here very long, you know I obsess about this. I'm going to confess something. Anymore, I used to listen to all kinds of preachers and speakers, and anymore, if a person talks that is in front of people speaking for God, and they talk for more than 8 or 10 minutes and aren't quoting Scripture, defining Scripture, applying Scripture, dividing Scripture, describing Scripture, explaining Scripture, I about can't listen to them anymore. I don't know that they're wrong. I just can't trust that anymore because his word guides us, and it is incredibly important. I kept thinking this week, Matthew 22, this is an amazing, pay attention, this is amazing. The Sadducees came and they were questioning Jesus about the resurrection. They came up with this silly story about a guy married to a woman dying and all that. I won't go into that. Jesus turned to them and he answered and he says, "You are in error because you do not know the Scriptures nor the power of God." And then he went on to say this. This is amazing. This just caught me. He said, "Have you not read what God has said to you?" And then he quotes a scripture in Exodus 3. Think about this. Jesus is telling Sadducees, "Have you not read, not heard, read what God has said to you from 2,000 years ago?" That's an amazing. Jesus believes in the power of Scripture. Jesus believes when you open the Word, it's God speaking to you. I heard someone say again this week, "It's so hard to hear from God." I was, no, it's not. His Word is right there. He has given His Word. It is a link, is strong. Next, He's given us His power. I'm not trying to make theological statements. This is really part of the Holy Spirit, but I wanted to separate it. We've talked about this. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. We have power. We're invincible in that sense. Satan cannot overcome you from the outside in. He cannot overthrow you in any way. We kept quoting Colossians 2 where it says that Christ disarmed the rulers and the authorities and he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Next, he has given us a purpose. This is an incredible thing. He did not save you just to save you, but he saved you because he has a plan. He has a purpose. There's value to your life. He wants you to, A, be like his son. He wants you to, B, take others with you. There's something about spreading the message that empowers you. It's a link to the chain. Now, I left out a link here. We'll get back to it. This is the result of these things. That's kind of how he's equipped us. This is the result. Producing fruit. Call it, it's producing his fruit in us in terms of love, joy, peace. But it's also producing fruit in terms of when I, the result of all these things in my life, I have an ability to influence people. I have an ability to quote Scripture. He sends me to make disciples. And it's powerful when these things work out in my life. And number three, a hope of eternal glory. That we have a future that is incredible. We read this verse this week in our small group. What no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, what no human mind has conceived. Now I want you to think, if you watch movies, the human mind is incredible of what it can conceive. But the Bible tells us that no one has conceived the things that God has prepared for those who love him. That's an amazing thing. Because humans, I'm amazed at their creativity. But he has things in store for us. Not only do we get to escape eternal punishment in hell, but we get to be with Christ. We're having coffee with Jesus. There's something. He's amazing. And we will start seeing that. We will have a job to do. I figured out something. That once you go past 45, heaven starts looking. I mean, it's a pretty cool thing. It's harder to picture when you're alive. I think 45 is the cutoff, don't you think? That seem right? Martha, you got any idea? I mean, you don't remember when it happened? All right, I left out a link. There's a link that holds these things. The things that God has done for you, these are links in the chain. These aren't going to go away. You're going to have peace with God. He's done this. His Spirit is. These are things He has done for you. And then that's the result. What's the link that holds us together? And I'm going to present this to you this morning, that persevering faith. The Bible presents that, and I want to be really careful. I don't want us to feel like we have, it's almost like we have a semi pulling this way and a tractor pulling this way. We're here, we're the link. Because we're going to, I don't want us to feel that way because He has empowered us through His Spirit in our inner being, Ephesians 3, to be able to do this. But the Bible makes it very clear that the link that holds everything that God has done for us to everything He's promised us, the link is you and I being steadfast, standing strong, having a persevering faith, a faith that is not, it can doubt, it can waver, but it does not crumble. It does not go away. And this is the link. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whether you face trials of many kinds, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. I want a few scriptures point this out. Just Matthew 10, this is Jesus. You will be hated by everyone because of me, but the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. Galatians 6, 7. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. We've been talking about that contrast, flesh to spirit. Verse 9, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. James 1, 12, blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test of time, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love Him. In Luke chapter 8, Jesus tells a parable, the sower and the seed. And it goes very quickly like this. Sower goes out, sows the seed. Some of it falls on a hard path, and the birds of the air come and steal it away before it can grow. Then some of the seed falls on the stony soil. Remember, that came next. It's a shallow soil. It has no depth. And the seed springs up with great joy, and it shoots up. There's faith. But the issue is there's not persevering faith. It can't withstand. The sun comes out, and it scorches up because the soil, I can't talk this morning. Soil is shallow. The roots can't go down, and it can't withstand it. And so it is destroyed because there isn't an ability to persevere. And the next seed falls on soil. It's not the soil, but it's that it's covered with weeds. And the weeds come in, they choke. The weeds eat all the nutrients and take all the water, and the plant can't grow and produce a harvest. Once again, it doesn't persevere. I've never paid attention to this. But the last seed fell on good soil. But the seed on the good soil stands, this is Jesus talking, stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word. They retain it. We've been talking about this combination. Gaining knowledge through the word and believing it. The concoction of faith and knowledge is supernatural revelation that God empowers us. Those who hear the word retain it. Jesus added one more element to this concoction. And by persevering, they produce a crop. And so I want to just, this morning we're going to look at this, and I want to give us some practical things. Anyway, we're going to go through a list of 9 things. Before we do, I want to just look at this. What are some of the things, one of the things I found interesting in studying this is what the Bible teaches us about persevering, what we're persevering from or in the face of. It was kind of an interesting list. And so just so that you have an idea of what we're talking about, this is the easy one, trials and hardships. We all know that. My car breaks down, costs a lot. My budget's stretched. I lose my job. There's health issues, whatever it is. We have trials and hardships. There's a persevering faith that goes through these things. There's persecution. Brittany, you talked about this morning. Persecution, we haven't experienced much of that in our lives. Be honest, this is a long discussion. Maybe we should. Yep. You know, if Jesus kind of told us if we're doing it right, yep. we're gonna anger some people. Yep. Reaping what you've sown. Sometimes things don't fall in these categories. Maybe you have something in your life where you made a horrible decision and now you're paying the consequences. But this is still persevering through reaping what you've sown. worldly distractions and pleasures. We need to persevere through good things, not just through bad things. We think it's a defense against evil, but it's not. There's several people in this room that have had job offers recently that are incredible job offers with huge pay, and they've turned them down. They've persevered through something that possibly, in their mind, Satan is trying to draw them somewhere that's not good for their faith. So persevering isn't just negative. It's standing against even things that come in your life that might be good things or distractions or possessions or whatever it is. Sin strongholds and temptations. These wear us. Guilt going on. Guilt just wears us down. Spiritual forces of darkness. We've already said Satan can't come against us, but you know what? He comes against people who come against us. I mean, there are things on this world that he can attack us with. And lastly, and this was a little bit surprising, false teaching. This is a persevering. The whole book of Jude, it's a chapter. The whole book of Jude, one chapter. And he starts out, he challenges them to contend for the faith. He ends with this great doxology of, now unto him who is able to keep you from falling and present you faultless, however it ends. And that is all written about people coming into the church teaching false doctrines and deceiving people. And so part of persevering is going through your life, walking through your life in truth and not being deceived by all the things that Satan, and I think it's much worse than we even think it is. Here's what I want to do. I want to go through Hebrews, and this is the last section here. I want to go through one of the, let me get a drink. People make a joke. Me talking about needing a drink. So, all right, Hebrews 10, Hebrews 11, Hebrews 12 is a textbook. It is a line-by-line textbook of persevering in the faith, of standing strong. And so I'm going to go through it, kind of skip through it, not in lots of detail, and pick out nine things. I have nine things for us this morning. And I picked them out. You could ring this out much with many more results than this. Please go through it. But these are things in my life that have been instrumental. These are things in my life that help me persevere and keep my faith and keep my eyes on Jesus. And so I want to go through these nine things this morning. And I really want to challenge you. Persevering, these things matter for us in our walk with the Lord. Hebrews 10, read this. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. For he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. And I would just say to you in the first, be embedded in a group of sincere believers where you can be encouraged, inspired, loved, and corrected. I would just tell you, I know people say this. I'm not saying, I am saying, the church, the New Testament is really written to the church, or after the Gospels. It is written to, it's really, yes, there's individual instructions, but it's written to the body of believers. And I would say to you, we need each other. We need each other. You need people. It's not even enough for Sunday morning to attend a church. It's not enough to just come and get something from the stage, but you need a group of one or two people that you are with and you challenge each other with. You need a group of a larger group, like a small group of people that you're embedded with, that you study the word with, that you're challenged with. We need each other. And I will tell you this, all the more as you see the day approaching. There's something about it. And I could talk about that for a long time, but I'm not going to. Number two, here's what I want to say. Invest in the kingdom, which means invest in other people. Take this seriously. If you're a believer that says, I'm saved, and it's just me and God. I'm just going to walk with the Lord. It's just me and him. I don't need anyone else because you've been hurt in your life. I get this. But here's the thing. Invest in the kingdom. Look what this says. I've brought this up many times. Verse 24 doesn't even say, the instruction is not even to spur one another on toward love and good deeds. The instruction is, let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. That means sit at home and pray and discern, Lord, how can I strengthen the faith of Mark? How can I strengthen the faith of Tom? Help me to do this. How can I spur people on toward love and good deeds? Invest in others. Next week's the Super Bowl. This is an illustration I'm going to regret, by the way. Next week is the Super Bowl. I could care less who wins. If I bet $100 on one of those teams, please don't do this. Kids, preacher doesn't bet. If I invested $100 in one of the teams, I would all of a sudden be intensely interested in the Super Bowl. Right now, I might not even watch it. Invest in the kingdom. There is something that happens when you are invested into someone's life. The gospel was made to flow through you. You are never more alive when it goes through you to other people. I have been amazed in my life when I'm sitting and explaining scripture, talking or encouraging someone. I cannot tell you how many times I will tell somebody something. I'll give them an instruction. And while I'm telling them, in my head, this is what's going on. It goes, wow, that's really good. I didn't even know I knew that. And where did that come from? And I find myself telling them things that I didn't even know. And worst yet is when I go, wow, that's really good. I should actually try that myself. That happens. You will find yourself training and teaching people and growing out of that experience. Invest in other people. It will strengthen your faith. It's not just about receiving. It's more blessed to give than receive. So I want to encourage you. This is important. We constantly get people who say, you know, they don't belong to a church or go to something because people, it's just always other people, they aren't right. Here's my thing. Go do it right. Sorry. I don't mean to yell. But as a leader, if you think people aren't doing church right, go do it right. Don't sit at home. I'm sorry. Man. All right. I can get going on that. Okay. Pentecost all of a sudden. Okay. Here's the next section. Now again, I'm just going through this scripture. This is just a textbook. If we deliberately keep on sinning after we have received the knowledge of the truth, no sacrifice of four sins is left, but only a fearful expectation of judgment and of raging fire that will consume the enemies of God. I'm just taking what the writer of Hebrews puts next. Listen, I'm not talking about sin in your life. Let me click this up here. Deal with willful, intentional sin. I'm not talking about the sin that I'm battling. I'm not talking about you might commit it over and over again. I'm talking about when you are thinking ahead and say, I am going to sin, I'm just going to because I don't care what God says. Deal with that. Deal with that sin. It will ruin the persevering faith. Nothing will crush your faith more than when you know you are going against God. He is in opposition to you. I won't dwell on that. Here's the next section. Remember those earlier days when you had received the light, when you endured in a great conflict full of suffering. Sometimes you were publicly exposed to insult and persecution. At other times you stood side by side with those who were so treated. You suffered along with those in prison and joyfully accepted the confiscation of your property. I didn't hardly know that was in the Bible. You joyfully accepted the confiscation of your property because you knew that you yourselves had better and lasting possessions. So do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. And I want to say to you, constantly distinguish between temporary and eternal. Constantly distinguish in your life what is temporary, what is eternal. What is lasting, what is not. Constantly do this. This is something that the Lord has changed in my life. And I have coined this phrase. It's my soul, my body. My body's gone to, it's not going to pot. It's going to, well, it's wasting away, 2 Corinthians 4. Let's speak biblically. It's wasting away. Inwardly, I'm being renewed day by day. And so, my body's gone away, but my soul is being revived. It is being renewed. It is. And I am constantly distinguishing and weighing out and appraising. Is this eternal? Is this temporary? These people, this is what they were doing. They accepted the confiscation of their property because they knew they had better and lasting possessions. They were aware of the eternal possessions. And I'm starting to do this so much in my life. And I want to, trying to debate, I'll go on. I'm going to be short. I mean, too long as it is. So let's go on. Oh, here's the next one, number 5. I think I numbered them right this week. Suffering produces perseverance. The Bible just says that. Suffering produces perseverance. You want to know how to produce, how to be persevering in your faith? Engage joyfully in suffering. Let me give you a couple scriptures. Romans 5:2. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, hope. and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. James 1:2, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature, complete, not lacking in anything. I want to tell you something, and I've said this before, but when I was growing up, there was a family in our church that had twin boys. And I imagine they were 9 or 10, and one of the boys got cancer. And they went through a long period of time of just the cancer, and the church rallied around them. And I remember talking to the father, you know, and the whole time I'm thinking, man, I'm glad it's not me. I was probably 15 at the time. I remember talking to the father, and just me and him, and what the Lord was doing in his life just oozed out of him. And there was one brief moment, I remember this clearly, that I actually was jealous of him and what they were going through. And then I caught myself. I was like, what are you doing? But I was jealous of the power of maturity and what the Lord is doing when you have nothing and you are 100% dependent on the Lord. There's something there. I want to say something. I've said this before. We are fortunate that we aren't persecuted, but I have the sense, and I've talked about this, I have this sense when I get to heaven, I'm going to actually hate to show up there with ever having put skin in the game, with ever having, what Christ has done for us is so amazing. When I see him and what he has done, and I show up there, and my whole life, all I've ever done is run from any kind of pain and discomfort, I'm going to wish, I've said this before, I'm going to wish I could come back here and suffer for him. I about guarantee you that we will. And I'm just sharing this again just to say, when you face these things in your life, I know there's a side of us, we run from discomfort, but God is doing something in you that's far greater than just trying to get you to be comfortable and to be pain-free. He is growing you. And there's when we show up there, when you even read accounts in Revelation about the martyrs and how they're honored, I'm telling you, we're going to wish. I really think we're going to get there and say, man, I wish I could go back. I wish I could go back and suffer for him. I don't know. That's my thinking. Here's the next one. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. For in just a while, he who is coming will come and will not delay. And by my righteous one will live by faith. And I take no pleasure in the one who shrinks back. But we do not belong to those who shrink back and are destroyed, but to those who have faith and are saved. And I want to say to you, develop a fighter's mentality. For some reason, I don't know if preachers in America have sold people a bill of goods that, oh, come to Christ, it's just this, you're walking on clouds, it's just this wonderful thing. I hear sermons all the time, God has this promise, you got to go to God, you know what he's promised you. And some of that is true, that's the problem is, it's 80% true, 90% true. But when we come to Christ, what the Bible actually gears us to think is, it's a fight. It's a fight. We live in a time of incredible ease. Before I show up at church here to work on sermons, I go on my phone and I change the thermostat so it's nice and warm when I come. We live in a time of ridiculous ease. Ridiculous ease. And it has softened us, I think. I sound like my grandfather. I will tell you, as believers, we need to toughen up. I read an article this week that college students today, I'm not trying to pick on college students, but today in colleges, they are overwhelmed with the need for counseling for students, just for stress and being able to handle tight schedules and any kind of hardships. And there was a story of, you know, one student that called the police because he had a mouse in his dorm and things. It just, we are soft. And so I want to tell you, when you come to Christ, It's worth it for here. There is a joy. There is a guilt-free life. There is a purpose that is out. It is incredible. I've said it many times. If you're serving the Lord and you're bored, you're doing something wrong. There is a purpose that we have. It's an amazing thing. However, we need to figure out that when we go and we walk with the Lord, we will meet resistance. When you pick up your Bible, where's my Bible? When you pick up your Bible and you decide, I'm really going to listen to Carl and I'm going to read my Bible, be prepared, because you're going to want to fall asleep. You're going to want to think about work tomorrow. You're going to worry, you know, the phone's going to ring. Something's going to happen. If you want to pray for a friend, your mind's going to wander. You're going to experience resistance, and the Bible teaches us that there is a fight that is going on. Here's some scriptures, 1 Corinthians 9:24. Do you not know that in a race, all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes through strict training. Competes, this word competes is the same word, same Greek word that Jesus used in Luke chapter 8, where he says, strive to enter the narrow gate. That word actually is a word, if you saw it, it looks like our word agonize. The word for strive looks like agonize. There's a trial in this. There's an agonizing. Everyone who competes, agonizes in the games, goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. No, I strike a blow to my body and I make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. I cannot read this morning. I don't care. I'm having fun. If you're struggling with faith, take the fight to that. Rather than play defense, take the fight. Do something. Fast. I fast lately. When I fast, there's many purposes for fasting. One of them is, I'm going to show my body who's boss. You will eat when I say you're going to eat. I kind of have that attitude. I'm in charge, meaning I being the spirit man in me, and you're going to listen to what I say. There's some of that. Take the fight to them. Beat your body. Make it a slave. Deny yourself of something. That's going on the offensive instead of being defensive. Here's another scripture. But you, man of God, flee from all this. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life, a life to which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Back to Hebrews 12. Let's start again. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus. This is a two-drink sermon. That should tell me something. Fixing your eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of your faith, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. You can sit and dwell on that phrase for a long time, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition for sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. And I want to say to you, daily focus on Christ, on the gospel, and the results of the cross. This is so important. Please hear what I say. Daily, daily focus on Christ. Fix your eyes on Christ. He is the centerpiece. He is the hero. He is that makes all this work. He is the star. Daily focus on the Christ, on the cross. I'm going to get through this. Are you laughing, Chris? Okay. This is why Paul, when he goes in 1 Corinthians 1 and 2, he says, I resolve to know nothing except Jesus Christ and him crucified. He is not going to make it more than that. It is about the cross. Here's an exercise that you can do. I do this. Not every day. Go through Ephesians 6. Go through the armor. I used to think this was hokey. This is the word we always use. I go through the motions. So I'm going to make a fool of myself for you. I go through the motions. And I pray through that. I pray through, Lord, I'm going to put on the belt of truth. And I have to make little hand motions so that, you know, it's building my faith. Put on the belt of truth. That's where it starts. And then I put on the breastplate of righteousness and I focus. And Lord, it is the righteousness of Christ. I don't have righteousness. Wow, I'm not righteous, but I put on his righteousness. And then you go on through it. I put on the sandals of the gospel of peace. I'm ready to go, Lord, where you send me to preach this message of peace. peace. And then I'm going to take up the shield of faith, which extinguishes the arrows, the flaming darts of the enemy. And I'm going to put on the helmet of salvation. And this one always gets me. I don't care what ISIS does. I don't care what's going on there. I have salvation. I have an eternity to look forward to. You can kill me here, but you have nothing there. I have the helmet of salvation. And then I take up the sword of the Spirit. And I do this, which is the Word of God. The Spirit inside, His Word outside, and it matters. I saw that, Chris. All right, next section. Let us run with perseverance, the race marked out for us. Fixing our eyes on the same passage, pioneer and perfecter of our faith, for the joy set before Him, He endured the cross. Cultivate a longing for your eternal rewards, what I was talking about. After 45, it's pretty easy. But I would challenge you this. Cultivate a longing for your eternal reward. The Bible talks about rewards constantly. We don't want to think about it. But there's something about it. There's something He knows that we don't know. This passage is for the joy set before Him. Jesus is timeless. He knows what's there. If what He sees is there, it's worth Him being mutilated on the cross for your sake and my sake, it's got to be great. Focus. I was driving home one day and listening to the radio, and a guy said this, and I've made this. This was last fall or last summer, and I've made this my habit. He said the reason he thinks the millennial kingdom is 1,000 years is because that's how long it's going to take for each of us to get to see and experience all of God's creation here. I don't know if you've ever thought of that. I never thought of that. I love that because everybody in Facebook's traveling all over the world, and I'm not. Thursday night in our small group, Alex was talking about the Grand Canyon. You just got to go, Carl. And I said, I am. I'm gonna go. In the millennial kingdom, I'm gonna see it all. And I say this constantly. My wife and I were on the beach, Siesta Beach, Sarasota, number one beach in the world. We were sitting there, and I turned to her and I said, what do you say we spend our first 100 years right here? Now, my theology might be off on that. I don't know. But cultivate a longing for that. I am going to see things. I'm going to, all the things that I've missed out on. I see all these grand pictures online of sunsets and mountains, and I'll never get to see them. But I'm going to, because I challenge you, cultivate. There's an eternity where I think that we need to think about it. Let me give you another one. This last one, number 9, we're coming home. By the way, the band... You guys get ready. We're going to play How Great Thou Art, by the way, to kind of finish this out. Hebrews 12, Lord disciplines the one He loves, and He chastens everyone He accepts as His son. Endure hardship as discipline. Get that? Endure hardship, any hardship, as discipline. God is treating you as His children. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. And what I'd like us to know is this. Understand that He is molding you into the likeness of His Son. There is a part of me when I became a Christian, it's like, I just want to be saved. I just miss hell, go to heaven, that's good enough. There is something massively important to God that you and I are changed and conformed to the likeness of Christ. There's something about it. I don't even know why to tell you that that's that important, but there's something about it. And so I want us to understand when things happen in your life that are unpleasant, Romans 8:28, Romans 8:29, it is because He has predestined you to be conformed to the image of your Son. Ask the band to come forward. Ask you to stand up. Lord, I thank You. Thank You. Thank You that You have saved us. Thank You that You have imputed Your righteousness to us. You've taken our sin and exchanged it for the righteousness of Your Son. I thank You that even though we can barely understand that, I pray that Your Word this morning with Your Spirit would make that real. I pray that You would stir up every heart in this room, that You would cause us to be strengthened in the faith. It's Your faith that You've given us. You've given us the ability to believe. And I pray that You would continue to strengthen each person. Lord, as we sing this last song, And we sing it in worship of you. We sing it thinking about you and the call that you have on our life and all the things that you're doing and how you work in our life. Lord, I pray that we as eternal souls reach out to you with our spirits, that we worship you first, and that we again rededicate that faith to stand steadfast in the face of trials, hardships, persecution, anything. Work in us. Father, thank you again for your gospel. Thank you for your salvation that you have offered to us freely. It is your grace. It is because you love us. Nothing separates us from your love. Lord, I pray that we walk out of here with a sense and awareness of your love. Father, I pray there's so many possible motivations of why we do what we do. But Lord, here's the one that we want. Here's the one that we want present in our lives as we strive to obey, strive to drive out sin, strive to overcome. We want to hear those words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." That's enough. Go with us, Lord, as a church in power as we leave here. We have a message the world needs. I pray that we leave these walls and it just bubbles out. We want to tell people how to be saved, how to live eternally, how to live victoriously. Empower us as a church as we leave here. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.